You know what that music means? That means it's another show, E.
It is another show.
This is show number 271 for Sunday, March 9th, 2008. And people have been asking me, you know, I've been using that open for that theme music for a long time.
Pretty much the whole time you've been doing the show.
Pretty much,
right?
The whole time. I was always looking for a good show or a good show open, and that's from Atari Driver from way, way back.
Oh, wow. That's 2003, 2004?
I think it's 2003, 2004. And I actually, I've been getting some emails for some reason lately, people asking me what that's from. And I put a link in the about, you know, how I produce my podcast. I have a link, and you can actually go off and buy the CD at Amazon.
I think I have that soundtrack on my Zune.
Do you?
I think so.
Yeah, that's a good one. So
I have a lot of game soundtracks.
So that's actually that's what that's from. But welcome to the show. My name's Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. With me, I work on the product team Xbox Live, and behind me is E, who is the director of operations for Xbox Live.
That's right.
Is that right?
And yes. And we should probably give an advance warning for the whole show.
Yes.
We don't normally record in the morning.
Yeah, we're recording way earlier than we normally record, so this is like crazy early.
Yeah, so I had a little scheduling issue on my side. So Major scheduled the show. You scheduled us to record it, I think, 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah, we usually record in 1 in the afternoon, and then right after that I put the show up. But you had some scheduling things, so you're like, hey, we need to do this at 9. 9 a.m., what?
Well, first I said we need to do this at 4,
right.
And you said, okay.
That's too late, because I had to get the show up.
Yeah, and then I sent you mail this morning about 6:30 going, can we do it really early?
Right.
And so not only are we not fully awake, but in an effort to be awake, to make the show interesting, I may have had 6 shots of espresso already.
Really?
Yeah.
Six?
I made myself 2 triples before I left the house.
Yeah.
So this is going to be fun.
Now, what's the machine you use? Because I know we brought that up last year and we were talking about this.
It's called Nanita. It's made by Quick Mill. It's a big, shiny, stainless steel.
No, it takes up half your kitchen.
Yeah. It's for the espresso fans amongst us. It's got an E61 group head. It's a very, very nice HX machine.
See, now, I you and I have had this discussion. You always poo-poo me. I like my Nespresso because I pop the capsule in, I hit the button, and I'm done. I don't have to clean it. I don't have to bang, 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 bang. I don't have to do any of that stuff.
You know, lots of people like McDonald's. It doesn't mean those are good burgers.
Well, I will tell you this, though. If you look in Wired magazine, Nespresso actually outbested some of the machines that cost 3 times as much.
Well, the catch is Nespresso is consistent.
Right.
It's always going to taste the same way no matter who makes it.
Precisely.
A machine like I have where you've got a separate, you know, big commercial grinder and all that kind of stuff,
yes,
can produce much better coffee.
Sure.
But you have to know how to use it. You can produce horrible coffee with that if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Like you get, like I say, you get into an airplane, you can either take off or crash if you know what you're doing.
Right.
Or and don't know what you're doing.
You know, if I even do something as simple as switch beans, buy from a different roaster or something, then you have to adjust the grind on the grinder, and it takes a while to get that dialed in right, and it's quite the science.
Yeah, that's not what I want to do spending my time.
But it's so good.
Yeah. Well, six?
Well, I only make
you
triples.
Double shots. You make triples. You had 2 triples.
I made 2 triples.
So what does that mean, triples? For those people, maybe there's some people listening that are like, gee, maybe I should try this espresso triple thing, the E special.
Well, so in Starbucks speak, right, if you get a tall, that's 1 shot.
Right.
If you get a grande, that's going to have 2 shots.
Right.
And a venti is going to have 3. So it's the equivalent amount of espresso as 2 ventis. Just with much better coffee.
I remember when I moved out here to Seattle, it's 8 years ago, and, you know, Starbucks has started to really kick in back east where I was, you know, but I, frankly, you know, I don't drink coffee usually, but going into those places was just scary because, you know, you're staring at the board and people are shouting things at you, and I want a double venti, latte, soy, no whip. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
So I don't really like it.
I'm pretty straightforward. I drink the same thing all year round. I don't like regular coffee. I just like espresso. And I drink iced grande, non-fat, no-whip mochas.
So you're one of those guys. Yeah. You're one of those.
But it's pretty simple. It's chocolate syrup, espresso, and milk. It's a milkshake with caffeine, essentially.
Yeah. Which is nothing wrong with that, I'll tell you. Nice coffee milkshake with caffeine. So that's why we're talking about drinking coffee this morning, because E is completely hopped up. I am not. I just had an orange juice and a Zone bar, I think.
I have not had anything to eat yet. I just got an email saying there are donuts back in by my office, but that's 2 buildings over, so that doesn't really help me.
Yeah, well, you need to... What kind of... The good ones, the Top Pot donuts?
I hope so.
You know,
if they're Top Pot, that pretty much guarantees by the time I get back there, there won't be any left.
So Top Pot's this place for everyone in Seattle knows what Top Pot is. They are, you know, there's everyone loves Krispy Kreme, and Krispy Kreme's nice. They're airy.
Hang on.
Yes.
The Krispy Kreme originals.
Yes.
They're amazing. When they come off the assembly line,
mm-hmm.
there's some special magic. They're like a special kind of super hot, gooey, sugary goodness.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of their donuts are just donuts.
Okay.
Top Pot makes much better donuts than Krispy
Kreme. But they're not the same type of donut at all. They are a bread or a dough donut.
Top Pot makes dough donuts.
Right, which are thicker and heavier.
Phenomenal.
Right.
Then there's Voodoo Donuts down in Portland, which I need to get back to.
And what do they make?
They make, not only do they make great donuts, they also have some very amusing R and X-rated donuts.
X-rated donuts?
Yeah, they shaped like body parts and such.
Oh, jeez, I don't want to eat that.
It's kind of funny.
All right, so we're now 6 minutes into the show, and we're yakking about what we've eaten. So I apologize. We've got three interviews, well, three and a half interviews for you this week. Let me explain. So I've got Reagan Burns, who's the vice president of MetaNet. He is going to come by, and he's one of the guys who worked on N Plus, one of highly successful Xbox Live Arcade titles.
N Plus is amazing. If you haven't played it, go get it right now.
So I'll interrupt Reagan when he's actually doing a multi-level design, which is pretty funny. I'm gonna chat with Matt Turner, who is the producer for Army of Two, which is out this week. Did you play some Army of Two?
I have not. I'm planning to find some time for it before the weekend is out, but so far I have not dropped it in yet.
And then finally I have our very good friend, Mr. Peter Moore.
It's good to have Peter back.
This is the first time I've actually chatted with Peter since he left us last summer. And he and I have been going back and forth in email, and we were supposed to get together down at the Super Bowl. Well, you'll hear us explain about that, but it was great to catch up with Peter and just get a few minutes with him, and he was updating about what he's working on. So those are the three interviews. Now, the half interview that I have is Trixie. She's not here, but before she left, she went to Germany. She came by and was telling us about Supermarch and how you can do a cool way to play with Jesse Alexander, who's a good friend of the show and a friend of Xbox. He's the executive producer of Heroes. He's going to be doing, a game with fame or what have you. And we're going to join him.
Yes. That is the 14th that's coming up.
Let me just double check that date.
I believe it's the 14th. Let's take a look here.
Yeah, it's March 14th from 8:30 to 9:30 Pacific time. Jesse Alexander will be playing Frontlines Fuel of War, which he's addicted to.
And you're going to be there. I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know. We should have a good crowd.
We'll see if we can get some other folks to join in. I've got, I think my next door neighbor might join in.
Oh.
We don't want to give his gamer tag out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people bother him.
Nasty UW grad dude.
Yep. So he may join in. KP may join in. We've got some folks. Knuckles Dawson, he joined us in a game last week.
Okay. There's another guy here from work who might join, who this morning confessed to liking the Spiderwick Chronicles.
Yeah, what was it? So why don't you explain that mail? So this is a good friend of ours. It doesn't work in the Xbox team. He works somewhere else in the company. We'll call him Bob.
Bob, okay. Yes. So first of all, you have to understand, a traditional Microsoft employee, the first thing you do when you get up in the morning, before you're getting ready for work, you go and check mail.
Right.
And we just all do that out of habit.
Yeah, it's this weird thing that when they implant the chip here, it's the first thing is the alarm that goes off at 6 a.m. to check your mail.
Yeah. So I check my mail, and there's a mail from Bob talking about how he kind of, you know, almost feels dirty about it, but really enjoyed playing the Spiderwick Chronicles last night.
Right. And why?
What did he say about why? I don't even remember.
Do you remember? You got it in your email.
Yeah, but okay, hang on.
Yeah, it was the Spiderwick Chronicles came out a couple of weeks ago, and he popped it in last night. I talked with him very frequently. You know, he's fairly high up in the company. So he sends us his email to you and IE. What does he say?
Now he wants to catch and plant fairies all day.
So
my response to him was, wow, you know what? Larry and I are going to be recording this morning.
Right.
We'll make really sure not to mention that.
Yeah, so Bob, hopefully you're having a good time catching and planting fairies.
But I bet he'll be playing.
So we'll play Frontlines. We'll have Frontlines. You have not even played it yet.
I have not because I am attempting to locate my copy.
Right.
I had it. We're playing with the microphone stand, actually, because the microphone was dipping lower and lower and lower.
He is learning his microphone technique, and last week it was a little off.
Well, I'd like to point out that once again you've switched microphones on me. So this is like the third microphone I've used in the last 6 weeks.
Perhaps
so,
it is.
Yeah. I had a copy of Frontlines.
Right. Did you even put it in?
I have not put it in yet. Right. And I'm not sure if my son misplaced it or I misplaced it. Maybe one of the dogs moved it. But it's not to be found at the moment. Well, the tails, when they go swish, swish, things go flying.
Right.
But it's not, findable.
It's not findable. So we'll be doing that with Jesse next week. We'll all get in there. What do you play this week? I played Army of Two, and I'll talk about that when I interview Matt from EA about Army of Two. I have not done co-op in Army of Two. Hopefully I can do that this weekend, even though the weekend's already almost gone.
I am intending to play some Army of Two this weekend, assuming my son gets beyond the point of sick to where he can get out of bed.
Right.
I'm going to play some co-op Army of Two with him.
Good.
Honestly, I've played a ton of Halo 3 this week.
Yeah. You always say that. Hey, by the way, hold on a minute. Let's go November, December, January, February, March. This is month 4 of the E hasn't finished COD4. What's the update?
And not only am I getting messages about it, I'm now getting emails at work from other Microsoft employees about it. Like, random emails that are, business related, but then...
P.S. You suck. You haven't finished COD4.
Exactly. I got one this morning already. So I actually dropped it in like night before last. Mm-hmm. I think it was the day that I actually was sick and stayed home.
Right.
And I think after I'd woken up from, trying to nap and get over it, I dropped it in for a little bit. And probably because I didn't feel good, I didn't have the patience to get through this one spot where I am. And it's not a nice spot. So it's the next...
Oh, wait a minute. Do you want to...
No spoilers.
There's no spoilers.
I'm going to tell this in a way that it won't actually spoil anything. Okay. It's the next to last level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing on veteran.
How do you know it's the next to last level?
Achievements? Yeah, I can see how many.
Okay.
I can see which ones I don't have.
Okay.
So next to last level, near the end of the level, from what people tell me, and I'm walking down this long hallway, and there's side hallways that go right and left.
Oh, I know exactly which level you're on.
And there's bad guys down both hallways.
Mm-hmm.
Plus down the main hallway.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to shoot the bad guys down the main hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to deal with the bad guys on both the right and the left hallway. So you have to throw a flashbang down one and fight your way down the other before the flashbang guy recovers. And it's hard. And I tried it a couple of times. I did not have the patience for it. I turned it off and went back to sleep. Maybe this weekend. I don't know. Probably not. I just have to get through the end of the game, and be done with it. If I wasn't playing on veteran, I'm sure I would have been done a long time ago. But I decided, I guess back in November, that if I'm going to play through the campaign, I'm only going to do it once. I'm going to do it on the hardest difficulty.
Yeah, because you really want... You're going to do it on the hardest difficulty because you want it to last, 4 or 5 months.
That was not the plan.
Yeah, yeah.
I may have gotten a little distracted by Rock Band.
Right.
Actually, Rock Band... Yeah, I've gotten distracted a lot by Rock Band. And like I said, this week, I've gotten back into Halo 3 in a big, big way.
Yeah.
Did you see the hopper change they just made a couple days ago?
What do they have? Yeah, I did. I saw Griffball.
Yeah, there's a Griffball hopper now.
Which you and I have been playing for months.
Griffball is a blast.
Yep.
For people who don't know what Griffball is, this is a game mode that was created by one of the Red versus Blue crowd. And
Griffin, right?
Yeah. Okay. And
that's the name.
You're basically playing in a warehouse.
Well, you're playing
cleared out foundry.
Yeah, you're playing in the foundry, right?
And it's assault, but there's goals. Those are the bomb points. The ball or the bomb appears in the middle. Everyone starts on their end, and you have gravity hammers and swords.
That's it.
And it's essentially a rush to go get the ball and then run with it and plant it. It's an instant plant,
right.
So you don't have to wait for it to activate.
Or defend it.
Right. The second you plant it, it explodes,
boom.
You score. And it's a huge amount of fun. And there's a surprising amount of strategy in just taking, the kickoff.
Right.
Because you can't just run up to it because everyone will hammer each other and blow up.
Right.
So you've got to have strategies around, okay, who's going towards the center, who's going towards the sides, when I get the ball, what am I going to do with it? It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so that's available. So I haven't played that in the hoppers. I'll try to do that this weekend. What else did I play this week? I played Sea of... you know what? I ripped through a bunch of games, but KP and I, KP who works on Xbox.com, that's his gamertag, KP, he...
send him a message.
Yeah, send him a message, KP. He and I were working on... Oh, he was writing an article on Crackdown. And he's like, hey, do you want to play Crackdown? So that's why you saw me playing Crackdown earlier in the week. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll play it. God darn it, I forgot how fun that was.
I mean, how many months did we lose to Crackdown last year?
Yeah.
You remember how long it took me to find that 500th orb?
Likewise, yeah.
I was stuck on 499 for weeks.
I forgot. And that's a game when I look back and I think about, you know, the games of 2007. I don't think that one got its just desserts. Maybe that's me. I don't know.
Well,
It didn't get what it should have.
I would agree with you. I think part of it was the fact that it came out in February.
February, right.
And there were so many great games later in the year, BioShock, Halo, Call of Duty, that when you go to do the year-end awards, that's what's fresh in your mind.
Gamers can't remember that far back.
Yeah, really, most of us can't.
Most of us can.
But yeah, Crackdown was phenomenal, and it was one of those games that you played for a long time.
Yeah, you did. And it had the co-op, and well, the reason you played the long time is you're looking for those darn orbs.
But they were... I mean, still to this day, the sound on my phone when I get a text message is the agility orb.
Which I have available for download.
It just makes me happy.
Yeah, I've always wanted to put up more audio for download, but frankly, I need to get it from game makers. Like, I had to contact the right people to get that one, so I would love to get more audio to put up for download, but much like Marketplace, it requires me to jump through a lot of hoops and find out who owns it.
You know, I bet Ken would give us some BioShock audio.
Yeah, Ken Levine or anybody from BioShock, I'd love to. Well, he gave me the music, and I used when the big open when they announced the...
Right, I remember that.
So I'd love to... I don't know.
It'd be great to have... You know what would be great? The vending machine sounds.
That's him.
Circus of Values. Right, but that would be a great audio
Welcome
clip.
Welcome to the Circus of Values.
Right, that would be a phenomenal audio clip for
Come
like
back when you get some money, buddy.
My meeting reminder on my phone.
Right.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, so Ken or anybody from the... From that team, I'd love to get some of that audio.
I'm sure Ken's listening.
I'm sure he's listening. He's a good friend of the show. We have a lot of friends. You know, it surprises me how many people listen to this show.
There's times when it worries me a little bit.
Well, it's the only show that is direct from the product groups. You know, here at Xbox.
Yes, that's true.
You know, we don't work in PR or marketing. We've been doing the show, or I've been doing the show since late 03, early 04.
God, has it been that long?
Uh-huh. And then I brought you on about a year and a half ago so that I didn't have to talk for an hour endlessly.
And now you have someone to berate you.
And now I have someone to berate me, which is really what it's all about.
Yes. It's the whole Army of Two co-op thing.
Well, thank you. So did you see when they in the Army of Two where you can like do these like high five things and they play the gun and stuff?
No.
You'll see that. It's pretty funny.
Oh, no.
Yeah, for those of you that have seen it, All right, why don't we stop down? This is a part, you know, we're already 20 minutes in. I need to get some interviews here. We're gonna kick it off with Trixie because she's in Germany. Let's talk about Germany for a second.
Oh,
so
yes.
We recorded this interview before she left for Germany. She's over there for the World Cyber Games and CeBIT.
Yep.
which is like the CES of Europe.
Yep.
Which I'm really pissed off I didn't go, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, because that's a whole different set of gadgets we don't get to see here.
And Trixie is not going to enjoy it. She's gonna bitch about, you know, her Diet Coke.
Yes, they have Coke Light, but apparently the bottles are too small.
So I'm like, so I should be there, but that's okay. She's there covering the World Cyber Games with Video Monkey. So I was able to get her in the interview as she was walking out the door to go to the airport. I believe. So let me go ahead and roll that interview, and then we'll roll into the rest of it, and then we'll finish it off with our good friend Peter Moore. And joining me this week, special guest. You're not really a special guest anymore.
Hey.
After the first three or four times, you're no longer a special
guest.
What
am I?
You're just a guest.
Chop liver.
You're just a guest. The lovely and talented Trixie, who...
I like that part.
...is responsible for Xbox.com/community.
Yes.
And I know some of the Web 2.0 kids like her. Whack. Xbox.com whack community.
Oh, we've been saying that a long time,
right,
Mitch.
So Web 1.0. So you're responsible for community. Now, we are actually recording this interview before you depart for Germany.
I am leaving for Germany tomorrow.
And where are you going?
I'm going to go to CeBIT in Hanover, Germany, which I don't know what that stands for. It's some German words, but basically it means it's the CES of Europe. And
do you know how jealous I am?
Are you?
Oh, yeah. I really want...
I like it when you're jealous.
You know, I love Germany. I love consumer electronics. I love German consumer electronics.
Wow. Do you want me to take pictures for you?
Well, I'd rather you take them for the community.
Whatever.
All right. So what are you going over there for?
It is the World Cyber Games European Championship. Excuse me, the Samsung European Championship. So Video Monkey and I are headed over there, and actually AC Bongos is going to join us. We're going to hook up with AC in Germany and do a little cross community action.
AC Bongos is the community lead over in the UK, who kind of works with all of our European the European Union.
Yes.
And
yes, the Eurogamers.
The Eurogamers, and he's going to meet you over there. It's in Cologne.
No, it is in Hanover.
Where did I say? Why did I say Cologne?
Because the grand finals of the World Cyber Games are in Cologne this year. Okay, that's what I think's going on with you.
My head is all screwed up.
Plus, did you hear that rumor about Leipzig and?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
Why don't you tell people what that rumor is?
Well, what if I get in trouble?
Then you're through saying it, not me.
Dope. Well, the rumor is that the Leipzig, which is like the E3 of Europe.
The Leipzig game show, which I've been to for many years.
Yes, this will be its last year in Leipzig. It'll be moving. Then it's basically moving to Cologne, which is better and has a better airport. But Leipzig will be sad.
Mm-hmm.
And will cry into their schnitzel.
You know my story with Leipzig is, I love the game. I love going to Germany. Love the show is fantastic. The people are wonderful. But the thing I remember, one of the things I remember most was, the hotel had the most amazing tomato soup I've ever had.
Really?
Oh, I don't know what was in it, but it was phenomenal.
Well, you know, my friend, my BFF Lindsay, is already in Germany scoping out the scene for us, and she warned me that there is no Diet Coke.
No, I know.
Or there Coke in the mini bar.
It's Coke Light.
But she is it's not even Coke Light in the mini bar. But she has scoped out a location where I can purchase some. And she also told me, tell Video Monkey they have lots of those little airline bottles of alcohol. He'll be happy.
So now that we got that out of the way, why don't you tell us what's going on with Supermarch?
Supermarch! Do you have an echo effect? Well, we can go Supermarch!
Supermarch. Sunday, in the mud.
In the mud. Yeah. So if you go to Xbox.com right now, up on the homepage is a funny little superhero graphic that leads you to Supermarch. And basically, it's a celebration of all things... all heroes, super and otherwise.
And would you like to go through who's on there? You're on there.
I'm there, and I'm kind of like a little bad cat girl thing. Meow. Elle is like Electricity Girl.
Elle, who also writes for Xbox. So all these people that you see up there, they actually do something in the community. We've got Elle, who does a lot of technical stuff.
Yep. She's got the power.
And then, go ahead, continue.
And you.
Me.
You have a lot of muscles going on.
More so than I actually do.
Yes, even more than that.
Even more so. Even more
so. We didn't give you any Batman nipples, though, I'm pleased to report.
Thank you for letting that.
But we did put a little, did you notice your logo that we put on your chest? Me and the design team, there's like an MN, and then it's got little wings on it. Like
that's cool.
The messenger god, because you are the bearer of tidings.
Aren't I?
Yeah,
That's crazy.
I know. Who else have we got? Oh, Hardcore is just looking all, you know, studly with a big gamer score thing on his chest, and Susie Q's got 3D glasses.
Fun.
Yep.
So it's kind of it's Supermarch.
Mm-hmm.
And what is going on for Supermarch?
So much fun things. The first thing that you helped me hook up, God love ya, is the Game with Fame with your friend Jesse Alexander.
Well, he's a friend of the show, and he's a friend of Xbox.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He lovey the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see? Look at that page you're looking at right now where I quoted him from your show.
What did he say?
He says, I don't watch TV. I play Xbox 360.
That's exactly what he does. So if Jesse Alexander, for those of you don't know, is one of the co-executive producers of the hit TV show
Heroes. See how that works?
And he is going to be playing Frontlines. He and I were messaging all over the weekend, actually, last weekend, because we're big Frontlines fans. So he and I have yet to play a game together. Hopefully we will soon.
Well, I think this will be your chance to game with fam.
Yeah, I'm going to join.
I love that.
I'm going
to
join.
So you can play not only with Jesse, and please don't harass him to like be on his show or give away secrets from the next.
Me?
Not you. They.
Oh. I've already harassed
your peeps. Yes.
I've already done that.
I imagine you have. But kids out there? Be nice to Jesse, please.
Yeah,
or he won't come back.
Jesse's going to be cool, and he's going to join us. And see what else you got going on.
Also for Super in March, what I've got is a hero type game scheduled every week of March that have for family game nights. So, I won't tell you about tomorrow because you won't hear it. But March 11th is going to be Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
and that Harry Potter's a hero. He saved the world from that no nose dude. Then on the 18th, Spider-Man, Friend or Foe. Spider-Man, Hero.
I get it.
The 25th is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Classic Arcade, because they are heroes on the half shell. Right. Are they not?
They are.
And the really super cool bonus part of these family game nights is that our good friends at Verizon are sponsoring it, and they are doing this very cool play and win where you can win a 120 gig hard drive to put all your cool movies and TV shows on.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good prize.
That's fun.
So you can register for that on Xbox.com, and how the play-in wins work. You play it. You win it. Well, hopefully.
Now, okay, so that's kind of cool. You got some good stuff. I have to ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
If you would have one superpower, what would it be?
I would have Wonder Woman's power to change clothes by spinning around.
You're kidding.
No.
Out of all the superpowers, invisibility, the ability to fly.
Flying is scary.
And you would want to spin around and change your clothes.
Yeah. That's exactly what I would. Do you know how fast that would make my life so much easier, the spinning?
More than invisibility, more than the ability to pass through objects.
Why would I want to do that?
I figured you would.
Why would I want to do
that? Actually, then I had you completely read wrong.
What did you think? I don't even want to know what you thought.
I thought you would have the ability to like burn people with your eyes.
No.
Actually, you already have that superpower.
I know. You've been on the receiving end of my stink eye a couple times. Look out for that. What about you? What power would you want?
Fly.
Really?
Yeah.
I would get too scared. Oh my gosh, you know what? When I was headed down to UCLA last weekend, I sat next to this woman who was on her way to the Philippines to go scuba diving.
Oh, that's cool.
I know, and it was really cool. I sat between these like two amazing chicks. Like one was like had been scuba diving, like started late in life, had been doing it for 15 years, goes all over the world, goes specifically to look for sharks because she likes them.
Yeah, sharks are hot.
And then she was on my left. I was sitting in a middle seat, which I usually hate, but this time it paid off in spades.
Was there a cute guy to the right like you like?
No, but it was this really cool girl who is a screenwriter. She actually is like a ghost screenwriter, so she takes scripts. Remember
yes.
to beep that.
Yes.
Make a little note.
Yes.
And makes them better. And sometimes it's just
so
like.
So she's a script fluffer.
She's a script fluffer. Yeah. And the beauty was she has a 13-year-old daughter and they're thinking about buying a game console. So.
Oh, so good for you.
I think I made a sale.
So you made an interesting comment there. You said you were in the middle seat, which I've been in the middle seat.
It was because I bought my ticket too late.
Right. But you were talking to both people.
I know. I usually don't.
No. When I fly, like my goal is not to say anything to anybody.
I know. I don't know what my problem was. It was a very strange.
Unless it's the woman
events.
Behind me with the two kids that were vomiting.
Oh my God, was that the weirdest thing about GDC?
So why don't you tell the story?
So, okay, did you tell the story about the kid on your flight?
Well,
okay.
I Twittered it, but I didn't really talk about it.
Right, so Mage and I are on the same flight going down to GDC last week?
Correct,
I don't know.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. It's all running together. So, and he's a few rows up, and he says, hey, there's nobody up here. You guys can come move up, because me and Pixel Monkey were in the back of the back of the back, right. And we're like, no, thanks. So we're getting off the plane, and we smell the smell.
So I'm sitting in a row all by myself, and behind me was a mom and two kids, two boys, and the two boys with the tray tables, boom, boom, all through the flight. And I'm like, oh.
Which you wanted us to come share with
this
you.
You have to remember, as soon as the pilot, ding, you know, when the seatbelt sign went off, I came back to let you know.
Yeah.
It hadn't started at that point.
I see.
So anyway,
you came back like three times. He was desperate to get away from the situation.
I was like, get me out of here, so.
So anyway, so Pixel Monkey and I are like the last ones off the plane because, you know, we're in the back. And and I was like, ew, somebody puked because, you know. The smell is pretty recognizable.
Yes.
And we get off there. Major's like, yeah, it was the kid behind me.
He basically on approach. It wasn't really bumpy approach, but as we're going and flying into, we're going to LAX.
No, dude, SFO.
San Francisco, SFO. We're going to SFO. And all of a sudden, I didn't even hear him yak. I just all of a sudden, I was like, oh, no. And I knew it was the kids behind me. So that's fine. So, yeah, whenever I travel, I always have this horrible luck. And now you actually got to witness it firsthand.
I know. You always get the delayed plane.
I never have delayed planes. The kids crying.
You got that. I usually have screaming babies on my flight. Usually not the delays. So we got each other's curses this time.
So on the way back.
No. So the funny thing is, so we're making fun of Major Nelson the whole time about, you know, making kids sick and the kid barfed on his, you know, whatever.
Right.
So the way home, I have
We were not on the same flight.
We were not on the same flight. Right. You went home Thursday. I was there till Saturday. Right. So I'm flying home. I'm super tired. And, you know, noisy kids behind me like, oh, look out the window. They look like ants, daddy. You know, all these really amazing observations I'm trying to ignore. So the plane is starting to land And the kid starts the low level, like, and the kids are like, just a few more minutes, just
what
a few more minutes.
What is it, low
it's
level
the
low what?
Level crying. Oh. It's the crying, but
how old
it's not
he?
Like, he was like maybe 6 or 7.
That's what the kids were behind me. Maybe it was the same kids.
No, I don't think it was.
Wow.
And then, so just before we land, yep, he totally Ralphs right in the seat behind me. Like, I could hear the splatter, and the mom goes, oh, shit. Whoopsie. Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
But that's what she said. It was a quote.
Yes.
Anyway, so then the plane landed like 2 seconds later. I whip out my cell phone. I text Major.
You texted me. I was like, yeah, it's welcome to my world.
I know. It was just like, so anyway, my post I put on TrixieBlog.com was GDC bookended by barf.
It was, wasn't it?
It was. First, you, then me. I mean, I've never had anybody puke on a plane that I'm on before.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it was right behind me.
So maybe you're, maybe, you know, yeah. See, so anyway, to the point, that's why my, to bring it all back, that's why my superpower would be flying, so I wouldn't have to deal with that.
Okay. That's it. But it'd be cold.
I'd have my thermal, super thermal underwear on and my super thermal goggles.
How would you navigate?
I don't know. I'm a superhero. I don't have to worry about that.
Well, no. The thing was, like, you could have a superpower, not that you were a superhero. I'm talking about one superpower you could work into your everyday existence. Right, and that's why I would have the Wonder Woman spinning around changing clothes power.
Because think about it. If I was able to fly, I could fly to work. I'd be to work in 5 minutes as opposed to 45 minutes.
Yeah, but then everybody would be like, look, up in the sky. It's Major Nelson.
Exactly.
Major, help, help.
So what else you got going on in the community section?
We have the Xbox All-Nighter. This month is happening March 15th. That's the day after Jesse Alexander's wonderful appearance.
And what's happening there?
Well, because it's, you know, Super March, we're going to play Guitar Hero.
GH3.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're going to rock it all night. I'm going to have a bunch of ambassadors that will be there.
Oh, I see. Hero. I get the time.
Okay. You're clever.
Yeah. See, you put too much thought into this. You know, gamers sometimes don't think of it this way.
This is what I do. I know. I'm a girl, too. So,
yeah,
no.
Enough said. So.
So, yeah. So, anyway, check that out. Definitely, you know, you want to check out playing Frontlines with Jesse Alexander because he's a good guy.
Yes,
and
he is.
We like him. We love him long time.
We do.
And if you are over 18 and you live in the 50 United States and or the District of Columbia, you can enter to win the play and win from our friends at Verizon.
Cool.
And then the All-Nighter.
And the All-Nighter. So it's a full month of community action.
It's a full month. And I'm working on some game with developer stuff, too. I've been talking to the dudes at Turn 10 about... doing some Forza 2 action later this month.
Yeah, they're right around the corner.
They are right
They're on the other
the
end of our building.
Although I still talk to them on email when I could just kind of prance
That's
over there.
The weirdest thing. I was talking to somebody about this. It's, you know, I've worked at Microsoft. You and I pretty much worked here the same amount of time. And have you ever had somebody who shares an office with you? This is a true story. When I first started, this guy was sitting behind me. We were like 2 or 3 people in office. And he emailed me, do you want to go to lunch? He's sitting literally 2 feet from me. I turn around. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? So
maybe he's not used to using his voice.
So just to give you a little peek behind the curtain here at the Microsoft culture, and this is everywhere, everybody emails everything.
Yes.
Like it's, even if the person next door, hey, do you want to go get a coffee? It's everything's an email.
That's true. No, I mean, KP and I, when I shared an office with him, we would IM all the time. We would not talk.
Right.
We would
same thing.
Not only that, but you know what? It came in handy because when really stupid, dumb people walked by, we wanted to make fun of them, but not
is that what he was typing about me? Little.
It wasn't you. And also, do you want to hear our secret code word? He'll get mad at me because we'll have to change it.
Yes.
But whenever we see a stupid dork that we want to make fun of later, we say ahoy.
I see. All right. Well, on that note, you know what? Pirates are kind of superheroes.
They kind of are. Did I ever tell you my Pirates versus Ninja theory? It's quick, I promise.
Go ahead.
So pirates are extroverts and ninjas are introverts.
Mm-hmm.
Because ninjas are always like dressed in black and like doing their
stealthy thing.
Honor code kind of stuff.
Right.
Pirates, think about it. The more messed up you are, the better a pirate you are. The drunker you are, the better the pirate you are. Pirates just get drunk and pillage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have wenches.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of like to party.
So
but
what's,
ninjas,
what's the
not
point?
So much. My point is the difference between introverts and extroverts.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'm sorry.
God, I told you my thesis at the get-go. Will you pay attention, please?
Well, I'm going to, you know, I'd love to have you on more, but I know you need
but
to
But this is why you don't have me on
but,
more.
But I
gotcha.
But I'm going
to... smell what you're cooking.
You're going to, I need to let you go because you need to pack, right?
I need to pack.
What's the one thing you're worried about forgetting going to Germany?
The adapter to make all my stuff work.
The electrical adapter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's and it's cool. going to be snowy and sleety there.
It's going to be snowy and sleety.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to going. I've never been.
Okay. Well, you have a good time.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to getting back. And I'm sure people are going to check out Supermarch. Go to xbox.com/community. Look for all the 6 superheroes up at the top, including me. I got to get it. You know, I don't think people realize how much I hate that photo.
I know you hate that, but what? They wanted your little bodysuit to be yellow, and I told them no. So you should thank me.
Can't thank you. Can't yellow. Why would it be yellow?
Because your page has the yellow on it, and they're trying to stay in the color family.
Why can't we use the photo, you know, of me and the Lancer from
you know what?
From
we can, because this Gears art is really funny and cool. It's like kind of like Justice League, the Xbox.com personalized Justice League, but it's also their swan song, because we've had them for 2 years, and I'm sick to death of them. And we're getting rid of them. So
the design team.
Not the design team, the art.
Oh, the art. I'm stupid. Sorry. Oops.
So that thing that you hate, it's going bye-bye.
Thank God.
Yeah. So, or it's going auf Wiedersehen.
It's going auf Wiedersehen, as you would like to say. And with that, on that note, I'm going to say auf Wiedersehen to you. I wish you good travels.
Thank you.
And safe travels. We'll be looking for your dispatches up on Xbox.com about the WCG
and
coverage.
Inside Xbox.
We'll be looking for your dispatches on Inside Xbox covering electronics. Trixie going to Germany to cover electronics. How did I not get that gig? This is just wrong.
It's the World Cyber Games, dude.
It doesn't matter.
World Cyber Games is my gig.
I'm a gadget guy. What's your latest gadget you bought?
My T-Mobile Wing.
Okay, what gadget are you excited to look forward to there?
I don't know. Oh, you know what? I got a little hookup on with the Surface team. They're going to let me in the behind closed doors viewing of the Surface. Now, are you really jealous? Ooh, you got like smoke coming out of your ears. He's angry.
No, I've seen the Surface.
He's the angry major. Oh, whatever. I saw it first.
Surface is great. No, Surface is great.
Okay.
But I want to know what other things you want, non-Microsoft stuff you want to look at.
I don't know. I'm going there mainly for World's Advocates.
Oh, you're gonna, you know why? You haven't been to Germany, have you?
No.
You're going to love it. You know why?
Why?
They smoke like crazy.
Ooh.
Yeah, enough said.
Seriously?
Yeah, so you have fun with that.
Excellent.
And I'll see you when you get back.
Okay, thanks, Mage.
All right, so that was Trixie, and I want to stop right now before we roll the other interviews, because we need to explain what happened. When we recorded that, obviously we didn't know what would happen. But why don't you explain what happened?
So Trixie and Video Monkey got to Germany okay.
Right.
They landed in, was it Berlin?
I believe it was.
And then they had to get to Hanover.
Right.
Where CeBIT and World Cyber Games are being held. And there was a little bit of a hiccup, and the hiccup was that the pilots were on strike.
So, oops.
Yeah. So all the planes were canceled.
Yeah. So all the flights were just gone.
Right. So they had to get themselves on a train. And so they're in a foreign country along with who knows how many other tens or hundreds of thousands of people who are also stranded and need to get on the train.
Headed to CeBIT.
Right. And imagine that, you know, I don't know off the top of my head how big CeBIT is, but probably around 100,000 people going, something like that.
It's probably CES size.
Yeah. All of whom are probably getting in about the same time and none of whom are getting their plane. So they're standing there in line to get train tickets.
So imagine if you were on your way someplace, you're at the airport, you're halfway to your location, and you look up at the board and it's flights canceled, 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 and you're in a foreign country.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good nightmare.
Yeah, right there.
And
you know Trixie doesn't deal with that stuff well.
No, that's where I was going to go too.
Right.
I'm guessing she was a little bit cranky, and that must have been really fun for Monkey and everybody else.
Right. So anyway, they had to get on a train, which I was like, God, I wish this happened to me. I would love to take a train through Germany.
Yeah, except they were supposed to go straight to Hanover and then straight to the show and start
working.
Covering stuff.
Right.
And they got there who knows how many hours late and cranky. And I haven't seen any of the footage yet, but I bet it's interesting.
So you can check that out inside Xbox. Also, if you go to Xbox.com, we've got the coverage up there. So thank you, Trixie, I'm glad we got her before she got on the airplane. That's all I'm going to say. All right, let's get back to the interviews. Joining me on the line today is the man, the myth. It's Reagan Burns. He's the vice president of MetaNet. You may not know the company, but you certainly know the game, N+. Reagan, thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks.
So congratulations on N+. It is doing just phenomenal. It's a Xbox Live Arcade game that went up a couple weeks ago. And I wanted to follow up with you and get you on the show because the game is really doing gangbusters.
Yeah, we're like super, super excited about that. When we were working on it, our goal, Mara and I, the other person in MetaNet, we're talking, and we're sort of like, you know, what are we shooting for here? And we sort of figured, like, if we get 50,000 sales, that would be great, like, in total, but it's already hit that, so we're like, super happy.
Yeah, it's and not only that, but, you know, each week on my blog, I post the top 10 list, and N Plus is what, you know, what some people call the big boy list, you know, because I have it broken out where it's, you know, live games, and then there's an arcade title section. But N Plus is sitting smack dab in the middle of the big boy list, and so that means it's doing quite well.
Yeah, we saw that. That was actually totally, totally great. It was like, we didn't really know at the start how popular multiplayer would be, so... I don't know. It's great to see that.
So, maybe some folks haven't had the chance to download N Plus, or maybe they're not even familiar with N. Can you give us a little bit of history and how you led up to releasing N Plus?
Okay. So, we were in school, and we did a bit of computer science, and, you know, we play a lot of games, so we started trying to make a game. And we found out that all the stuff that we learned in school is basically useless. So, then we had to start, you know, teaching ourselves. And so while we were in school, over a few years, we sort of just learned the basics of game programming. Actually, in school, we met John Mack, who at University of Toronto, who's the developer who made Everyday Shooter for PSN.
Sure.
So there's like a nice community, and there are lots of people to learn from. So, I don't know. And then we spent a couple years just making little tile-based platformer engines and never getting a game done. Until finally there was a Flash Games contest for the Flash in the Can Festival, which is like it's sort of like Flash Forward. And so we had 6 weeks, and we had this little tile-based physics engine thing, and we had a few other scraps of code, like a ragdoll simulator and stuff, laying around. So sort of in 6 weeks, we kind of threw it all together and came up with graphics and made an editor, and sort of, it was pretty nuts. And then we finally got it done, and then it lost. It didn't even come into the final list of the contest.
Oh, no.
It lost to... The only one I can remember is Starsky and Hutch Pinball. So that was N. So we were kind of pretty depressed, and we were like, well, we'll just put it on the internet and, you know, email our friends and stuff. But then people started playing it more and more and would write and sort of... I mean, at the beginning, this first version we made was very basic. Like, there were only, I think, 50 levels, and we couldn't even figure out how to save your progress. You had to enter in a code like an NES game.
Right.
But we got so much feedback, like, that summer. I guess that's, like, the summer of 2004. Anyways, that we, you know, we kept revising and updating, and we added stuff that we'd planned but got cut because we only had 6 weeks.
Sure.
Stuff like the high scoreboard where you could watch replays of people and that sort of thing. So I think we spent like about a couple years sort of, you know, releasing revised versions of N every few months. And it was in the Independent Games Festival where it got the Audience Choice Award, which was awesome. And that led to someone at Microsoft hearing about it. And he apparently... is still obsessed with the game. He doesn't even work at Microsoft anymore.
Who is that?
It's Ross Erickson.
Our good friend. I'm actually going to have Ross on the show in a couple weeks. So he's
awesome.
He's a good friend of the show, and a lot of folks will remember him because he's one of the guys that's responsible for getting the upcoming Lode Runner on Xbox Live Arcade. So he's so I'll have him on next week. But Ross is a good friend of the show, and I'm so thrilled that he ferreted out and found you guys and got it on the platform because it is just... It's doing quite well. Now, you talked about the Flash version of the game. What are some of the... I mean, there's a variety of differences, but what are some of the things you were able to do on Xbox Live Arcade that maybe you... Because now it was a full version of a game as opposed to a Flash on the web experience.
Yeah, well, the main thing, I think, was the multiplayer. I mean, there were some things like... It doesn't... I think it runs at, like, 40 frames a second in Flash, and it's not super smooth, and there are... some collision bugs and stuff, so we were able to sort of work all of that out and make the basic game part, you know, 100% just really smooth and 60 frames a second and great. But I think multiplayer is for sure the biggest thing. It's something that people have been writing in about for like years on the forums, and sort of, can you add multiplayer? And there really wasn't any way to do that in Flash because it was slow enough just with the one ninja.
Right.
But so that for sure was a big thing. And I mean, initially we didn't really know if it would work or not, because it's a lot different than single player, so like the competitive modes especially. But then once we had a working build-up, we had some friends over, and we sort of started playing like four-player races and stuff, and it was totally fun, so that was really great.
So it turned out actually being cool. But you mentioned in the Flash version there were 50 levels, which a lot of people say, wow, that's a lot. But in the version, the Xbox Live Arcade version, if I remember correctly, there's 475 levels?
Yeah. Well, actually, now, like I mentioned, we were updating the web version, so now there's actually 500 levels in the Flash version.
I see. But how do you even go about designing 400 or even 500 levels?
Well, actually, that's what I was doing just right before you called. I mean, that's all we've really been doing for the past year or so since N Plus sort of started production. I don't know. Like, we really like the editor, and we're so used to it that it's just really quick. And I mean, and the great thing about the editor is it's integrated in the game. And I mean, it's just like the N Plus editor, right? And, like, the most important thing is that you can flip between playing the game, playing the level, and editing it.
Yeah, so you get to do a little preview. I was playing around with it before the call, and it's you can kind of set it up, and you're like, okay, let me just play this level, and you can kind of figure out if you need to move some things around.
Exactly, and I mean, I think that's the key, is that there's no, like, build time or anything like that. You can just jump right into the game, and it lets you tweak and iterate really fast so that, yeah, like you're saying, you try a jump, okay, I can't make that jump. You move, you know, the tiles up one or something like that, and I mean, that's it. I mean, there are a couple other versions of N Plus, like the handheld DS and PSP. So, like, over the summer, we've made well over 1,000 levels.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're actually just trying to finish up. We didn't have time to get a map pack ready for N Plus when it launched on Live Arcade. But we also figured, you know, 500 levels, that'll hold people off for like a month or two.
Yeah, that'll definitely, that'll, and not only that, not only the 500 levels, but even the fact that you have a level editor in here.
Oh, yeah.
And people can kind of keep themselves amused.
Yeah, but I mean, that was a bit wrong, because there are lots of people like, release more levels.
Yeah, well, that's the internet is a hungry place when it comes to content.
Yeah, so I mean, so we're going to do a few map packs, and that's what we're working on right now.
There's 475 levels, there's 25 tutorial levels, you know, there's 50 hard. You talked about the designing of the levels and so forth, which you kind of get into the groove. How did you have to change your strategy when you went from a single-player level design to a multiplayer level design?
We're still, like, learning. The main thing is that we have, like, you know, we've been making single-player levels for, like, 4 years.
Sure.
So we're really good at just knowing what works and what doesn't intuitively. But for co-op, we're definitely still learning. And, I mean, this is something that happened in the single-player version, where people would just find ways to break our levels. And we just found something today where there's a co-op level where one player is supposed to keep a rocket alive while the other one goes in and hits a switch.
Yep.
And apparently everyone's beating it, not by doing that, but they both go in and hit the switch, and then on the way out, one person runs ahead and sort of throws himself at the rocket, which buys enough time for the second person.
Interesting.
So they're all, like, we're still learning, and it actually takes, like, I don't know, 5 or 10 times as long to make a co-op level as a single-player level, which is one of the things that's making this level pack so long in production, is that there's just so much to learn still about. Because once you throw two people in there, it does change things quite a lot.
Yeah, it changes the dynamic. A lot of people, you know, may not understand that you just can't take... Sometimes you just can't take a single-player map and convert it to a multiplayer map. It just gets a little crazy. Now, there's a couple different versions of the game. Can you go through what those are, the co-ops and the survival and the race?
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, so co-op is pretty much the same as the single player, where you're trying to make it to the exit, except only one player needs to make it to the exit. So, and they're, like, we try to make the maps a lot more puzzly, so that you have to sort of cooperate and coordinate and work together. So typically, it's stuff like one of you will lure an enemy away or distract an enemy while the other one goes in and gets something, or there are a few we made where one person had to sort of throw themselves at some mines to clear them out for the other player, stuff like that. The race mode is pretty much first person to the exit wins, but you keep respawning every time you die. So what we found is, like, often a great strategy is not to try to be in the lead, because that means you're going to be running through where there are a lot of dangerous enemies first.
Sure.
So if you sort of just hang back a bit, and, you know, maybe you're right behind the first guy, they'll die, but they'll, you know, get an enemy out of your way, and then it makes it easier for the later people. And survival, there's no exit. You're just sort of, you're thrown in a room with tons of things trying to kill you, and it's sort of last ninja standing.
Then a lot of people don't know this. I want to point that out, is that N actually stands for ninja, the title of the game, correct?
Actually, well, yeah. I mean, N is actually the way of the ninja.
Ah.
If you read the story, it's the it's sort of the religion of ninjas, which we posit. It's based on collecting gold and avoiding robots.
Which generally speaking, it's not just a ninja way. It's really just a life way.
Oh yeah, I mean everyone. That's what life is about, really, in North America.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I mean that's something that. I don't know. We're trying to remember why we called the game N initially, and I don't think we could, other than, you know, the graphics were minimal, so it fit nice. And also, we really like how the N looks in the font that we use.
Yeah, it does look nice. You made a comment there about the graphics being minimal, and this game, which, as we talked about earlier, is doing phenomenally well, and, you know, it's on in the top 10 list of all the games across live being played, and it's up against, you know, a lot of major titles that have, you know, graphics and 5.1 surround. Why do you think this game is doing so well? Is it just because it's simple and it's easy and it's fun to play?
I think so. I mean, yeah, there's definitely... We have had a lot of complaints about, you know, like 800 points and the game's only 13 megabytes.
Right.
And like, and how the graphics, like my kid sister could make those graphics, sort of thing. But
right.
I mean, the main thing is that you, like, you know, you can make complicated 3D graphics, but that isn't always what's best for the game. And like you said, I think that really the only, like, the problem with N from a marketing point of view is that the screenshots look terrible. And you really only get it once you play it, because it's the feeling of playing it that is fun. But, I mean, I think that's why everyone likes it, because a lot of... If you look at most 3D, you know, third- and first-person shooters, fundamentally, all you're doing is moving a sphere around and casting rays at other people.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's not necessarily as much fun as, you know, a more involved game, but they have a lot of graphics. So I think when we made it, it was sort of a statement of there's this huge trend towards, you know, great, amazing 3D graphics. And there are a lot of games we love that have, like, terrific graphics. Like, the new Burnout is just awesome.
Sure.
But, I mean, I think it's important that people don't forget that you don't need graphics. And sometimes even 3D graphics in a 2D platformer just ruin it, because they make collision. It's hard to tell, you know, where things start, where you are, and stuff like that.
No,
so, I mean, that was something we toyed around with when we were making N Plus, is like, you know, people would suggest, why don't you do like a 3D jungle background kind of thing? And like, the main thing is it would be too busy. You need it plain and simple, because there's so many things going on.
Well, it's too busy and it's too Pitfall Harry.
Yeah, that too. I don't know. Like, we're really glad that so many people get it, because I mean, that's the one sort of our perpetual fear with N, is that it's a game where not everyone likes it. Some people really hate it, and you really sort of have to get where we were coming from to enjoy it.
Well, it's also helpful that, at least on the Xbox Live Arcade version, that people can download the demo, and then it's, you know, as you talked about earlier, maybe the screenshots aren't doing it justice, so people can download the demo, and it's like, oh, I get it. You know, it just takes a few seconds for them to click.
Yeah, that's totally, like, hugely important. I don't think that anyone would have bought this game if there wasn't a demo.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, it's like, you absolutely... And I don't know why there are so many games that don't have demos. Like, I think every game should have a demo version, because, I don't know, otherwise it's just so much of a gamble for the player, you know?
You can actually, as you said that, you can hear the millions of listeners, their little heads nodding up and down, going, yes, everybody should put out a demo. But, you know, sometimes games, you know, perhaps don't demo well, for lack of a better term.
It's true. I can see a more involved, you know, RPG type of game.
So it's definitely, you know, but for N Plus, it's really been great. So, well, I'm gonna let you go. I appreciate you taking the time, and I'll put a link up to up to your site as well. Do you want to give out your gamer tag?
Yeah, I guess it's Wootteen74. It's a very long story.
Wootteen74.
Yeah, as of a couple days ago, we had one number one speed run in N Plus, but that may have been bumped off by now.
Got it. So I'll make sure I put a link up to that. Reagan, I appreciate you taking the time to talk today about N Plus. It's available now, Xbox Live Arcade around the world, and it's a lot of fun. I encourage people to go at least check out the free download. You never know, you might like it.
Thanks.
EA's Army of Two is out in stores right now, and folks are playing it on Xbox Live. And joining me is Matt Turner, the producer for Army of Two. Matt, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
No problem. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on the line and talking about Army of Two. First of all, I always like to tell people this. You know, a lot of the listeners may not realize it, but it's tough shipping a game, any game, and congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. It is tough, and we appreciate it.
So Army of Two is out there right now, and I think people can pretty much put together from the title, Army of Two, that it may be a first-person shooter with two people. But why don't you go ahead and explain it in your own words?
Well, it's more than just a first-person shooter with two people. It's actually a game that revolves around co-op. You know, the whole game is meant to be two people working together to try and solve our maps. And we really built the game from the ground up for co-op, all the core mechanics, everything about it. So unlike other games that have co-op features or options, co-op is the game for Army of Two. So it's really a co-op shooter more than it's a two-person shooter.
Yeah, I mean, you can absolutely play it as a single person. There's a single player campaign, but I was doing a little bit of co-op the other evening. It's definitely not as rich, you know, as anything. When you're doing it with a buddy, it's always more fun.
That's it, exactly. I mean, even when you're playing single player with the partner AI, you have a partner. I mean, he is AI, but you still have to work with him to try and, you know, to beat the levels.
Now, one of the interesting game dynamics that you've chosen is this thing called the aggro meter, and you're using aggro, which a lot of RPG folks or MMORPG folks may know. Can you explain how you use aggro in this game?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a pretty, you know, basic concept of gaming. We really wanted to make it more concise and clear, make it more of a tool that the players can use to manipulate the AI and, you know, and beat the levels how they want to. So what we did is we made it really clear as to how much aggro and who's got it all at all times. So you have a meter that shows you how much aggro you've got, as well as your character will start to glow red when you start to pull aggro, as to indicate all eyes being on you. And on the flip side, your partner will sort of get transparent, you know, signifying no one's looking at him. That kind of shows that he can, you know, sneak around a little more. He's a little more stealthy. He can kind of go around and flank some people. It's really like a really more clear version of aggro, and it works really well in a shooter game because you can really pull the attention of the NPCs and the enemies, and then you can distract them and send your guy up and flank, and, you know, you can really manipulate the whole world.
How does aggro work, you know, with a single player? It's pretty straightforward, but how does the aggro work when you're playing co-op with a buddy?
It's the same. It's just it takes communication. You really got to talk it out, and you got to use. The tools are there. If you don't, you can't talk it out for whatever reason. If you don't have a headset or, but it's better just to really use it as a tool, as I said before. And with two people, it's really fun because you can do a checkpoint or a map, and then you can say, you know what, let's go back and do it this way. I'll pick the aggro, or you do this way, and it offers a lot of replayability in it.
Talk a little bit about the missions, and you know you're playing a mercenary, and so let's talk about how the story goes.
You start off as U.S. Army Rangers. And so the first level, you're Rangers, and you impress one of the guys at a small private military firm called the Security Strategy Corporation, and they recruit you to come in and join them. So the two of you, Elliot Salem and Tyson Rios, the two main characters, make the move together, and the whole kind of story follows them together as a team. And then once they get into the private military world, it kind of follows their careers and the stuff that they run into as being private military contractors. And you know, some of the friends they have don't turn out to be such good friends, and other people turn out to be better friends than they thought. So it's a pretty cool little story.
And then, as you, obviously, since you're a mercenary, you're earning in-game money, and you can purchase weapons. Let's talk about some of the weapons. There's quite an exhaustive weapon list.
Yeah, it's a big way. It's fun. You know, it offers a lot of variety and, again, some more replayability of the weapons. We have 30 weapons, and from primary, secondary, and special weapons. Special weapons being sniper rifles and rocket-propelled grenades, launchers. So we have RPGs, and as mercenaries, kind of your reward for completing objectives throughout the game is cash, and you can use that cash in game, you know, at mid-mission shopping points to buy new gear, new guns, and kind of like upgrade your guy to the way you want him to fight, so the best way that you like to be a mercenary.
Certainly.
And each gun can be tailored itself. I mean, so it has individual parts that can be upgraded as well, which can, you know, translate directly into the game for power or accuracy or ammo or even aggro. We have a feature called Pimp My Gun, where it kind of coats your gun in silver and gold and it makes it look pretty cool, but it also attracts way more aggro.
Yeah. Now, part of the game, you talked about the co-op, is there's also a series of different modes that you offer for folks playing online over Xbox Live. Let's go through those. I've got Versus, Warzone, Extraction, and Bounties, in addition to the co-op. So can you tell us how each one of those plays out?
Yeah, well, I mean, so the ones they're all Versus, right? So it's the Versus mode. And within the Versus mode, we have a bunch of different options. So there's the Extraction, which is basically what will happen is you'll have a hostage or something like that, and you will have to, you and your partner have to go and get the hostage and bring him to an extraction point, but there'll be another team playing against you, and they'll be trying to stop you, them take the hostage, and then they'll try to bring him to the extraction point. So you're kind of fighting against the other guys to try and do this. And that happens as well with things like laptops, and there's a couple of little things you have to try and bring to certain areas and then get it extracted out by helicopter. Bounties is assassination, so you'll get a target for a terrorist leader or some kind of a baddie guy that will be an NPC that'll be somewhere in the map, and you'll get a cursor on him. You have to try and get to him and kill him first, or again, against the other team. So you're racing all the time to complete these objectives against other teams. And then Warzone is both of those put together and a couple of other little ones thrown in there, kind of, and it randomly generates these objectives over and over and over again until the time that you've selected is up. So say you do a 15-minute game for 15 minutes, it'll just randomly generate these little objectives. You kind of go through, and each time you complete one, you get money. And then, again, that will translate into the leaderboards and stuff.
So there's a bunch of different modes that people can try out online with this, but as you said, it's really designed from the ground up to play it with a buddy.
That's right. Yeah, the pure Army of Two experience is over Xbox Live with a friend playing campaign.
And that's
I would recommend Contractor, and if you have the guts, I'd go into professional mode.
Yeah, that's true. I noticed that now. Now, before I let you go, I want to ask you, you know, you work for EA, which is known for these franchises that come out each year, you know, the Maddens and so forth. But tell us, what was it like defining a new project for EA?
It was hard, you know. I mean, it's tough. What's really hard about IP is that you know, you have no limits. It's a blank slate, and you really have to, the hard part is kind of figuring out the boundaries of your project and what you actually want to do and where you want to go with it, and kind of sticking to that, and at the same time being able to adapt when you have to. It was really difficult, but it was actually really fun, and we had a great time doing it.
Army of Two in stores now. I appreciate you taking the time. Matt Turner, producer on Army of Two. Again, congratulations on shipping the game, and good luck on your future projects.
Thank you very much.
I am pleased to have back on the show after probably it's been a 6 or 8 month hiatus, my good friend Peter Moore. Peter, welcome to the show.
Larry, always a pleasure. Thank you.
It's good to chat with you. Normally when we've done these interviews in the past, I would just come over to your office, but I no longer have that luxury.
That's a plane ride now, Larry.
It's a plane ride, but I do get good sunshine out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Today is, you'll hate it. It's 70, 71 degrees here in the Bay Area. It's gorgeous.
So that was the real reason you moved back. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, well, it certainly was one of the great impetuses. It was not sitting in the gloom and the rain that I'm sure you're having today.
Never underestimate that. So, Peter, I want to talk about what have you been up to for the past 6 months? You're now over at EA. You're in charge of all of the sports titles, which, I mean, when you think sports titles on with video games, you can't help but think of EA.
Right. Yeah, so what had happened, obviously, as I think you know, is that EA reorganized itself into four separate labels, of which I'm the president of EA Sports. Three of the labels are Casual, which is Kathy Vrabeck. Many people know Kathy from her Activision days. The Sims, which is a label on its own, and that's Nancy Smith, who's an EA veteran that previously ran Worldwide Publishing for many years. And then you've got EA games themselves, things like Need for Speed and Burnout and Medal of Honor, and that's Frank Gibeau, another EA veteran. But yeah, I'm delighted to run what is about a $1.2, $1.3 billion business called EA Sports.
It's pretty extraordinary. How is the transition been going back into the publisher, because you were obviously with Sega before you came to Microsoft. How's that transition been?
It's interesting because, you know, obviously I have and still have a huge passion for the Xbox, it's very difficult just to walk away and pretend that the 4.5 years that I was there when we launched the 360 obviously didn't exist. But at the same time, you realize the importance of having an overall healthy industry, not only one console, but both the Wii and the PS3 doing well. The PC itself, of course, is an important part of our platform mix. So, it took a few months to get more platform agnostic, I guess, than I previously obviously was. But and we're doing so much still with the Xbox 360. I still get to see so many of my former friends and colleagues there, so I still get that. But interacting with the good friends at Nintendo, I know you've got some good friends there, as well as
sure.
My former adversaries and now great partners at Sony. So although Phil Harrison disappearing leaves a big hole there.
Yeah, that was a little strange. How was that? I mean, how was the first meeting with Sony or Nintendo? That must have been kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think certainly Nintendo a little more open, because people like Perrin Kaplan, George Harrison and Reggie, of course, as you know, they're super people. We almost share a campus with them for many years, obviously up there in Redmond, but I think you've got them surrounded now. But I've known them for years, and I've always believed, since my infamous Wii 60 quote back at E3 a couple of years ago, that is a platform that will continue to succeed. It offers a very different gaming experience, obviously, than both the Xbox 360 and the PS3, and it's done wonders for the industry in bringing people in who were either lapsed gamers or would never have considered video games. So my hat's off to them. We continue, certainly in my world, to kind of chase after that consumer, because simulated sports is not something that is high on that consumer's list of things that they're looking to buy, but we need to be a lot more important on that platform. So it was a little strange, but at the same time, these are people that I've interacted with for many years, so I've known them for a number of years. My first meeting with Sony, with Phil Harrison a few months ago, was a little weird as well, with Phil and Jack and Kaz, all of whom I've known for years. So just a different side of the table, I guess. Different than when Don Matrick and John Shepard show up representing Microsoft and I'm sat in EA representing EA.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's definitely a different change. How is, you talked about how the casual gamer, the Wii crowd, they're tough to go after with the sports games. Why do you think that is?
Well, we provide an experience, quite frankly, that's too complex. And when we look at how the landscape is changing, the broadening of the demographic, particularly the Wii, which is becoming a lot more social and people having a lighter 20-minute experience, the concept of Madden and NBA or NHL or FIFA on that platform is a little too complicated for a lot of people. And quite frankly, I agree with them, and we're doing everything we can to be able to make our games on that platform in particular a lot more approachable. And at the same time, certainly not dumbing down the experience, not our intention at all, but we're really dealing with two different segments now within our industry. We're still dealing with the core, which is continuing to drive our business to being, somewhere in the region of a $40 billion global business. But at the same time, the real growth in the industry is coming from the broader consumer that maybe 2-3 years ago wouldn't have considered a video game console, and we've got to have something for them as well. And the challenge we have at EA Sports is providing them an approachable experience, still within the confines of it's an NFL experience or an NBA experience, but challenging our dev teams to really come up with a different experience is something that we're just getting up to speed with now, quite frankly.
Now, as the president of EA Sports, you have pretty much a lock on the market when it comes to these huge titles. You got the partnership with the NFL and so forth. Let's talk about those for a second, because you've got some amazing properties that people really hold near and dear to their hearts. I mean, all the way up to the temple that is Madden.
Right.
What has it been like for the past 6 months for you to kind of go through and look at the portfolio that you're now in charge of and look at the 3-6 month or even year plans and how it's going to be developed? That's got to be pretty exciting for you.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know me pretty well, and my love of sports extends past, my love of the Red Sox and the Patriots from my days in Boston.
We commiserated about that, didn't we?
Yes, indeed. I'm still in shock, having been to the Super Bowl. I'm still walking with my tail between my legs, sat there wearing my Randy Moss replica jersey. It just was not a good day. But when you can combine your love of this industry and a deep passion about sports, and for me it's not only American sports, but I kind of bring a unique perspective because lad from Liverpool that loves his team from Liverpool, but also has been following soccer for the best part of every year of my 52 years on this planet. We have this little franchise called FIFA, which is as big as Madden, but is also, perhaps more importantly, a much more global franchise for us. It's a tremendous amount of fun. It's I feel privileged to be a custodian of something that, in Madden's case, is approaching its 20th anniversary this year. And I can think of very few, if any, video game franchises, quite frankly, that have sustained the type of reach and power and obviously sales 20 years in a row that that Madden NFL football has done.
And you know, you talked about the fact that you bring the unique European perspective to this. You know, whereas it's a well-known fact that in Europe, soccer, football, as it's called over there, is huge, and it doesn't really get into the psyche in the United States as the NFL-style football does. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You say that at the same time, we're looking at FIFA 08 sales, and we think we're probably going to be somewhere between 1.5 and 2 million units by the time we sell the last one, which may be a year from now.
Sure.
So having said that, North America becomes a very important part of that. I think it's cultural. Obviously, you've got in this country, and I learned this when I came over here in the early late 70s, actually, to actually be a soccer player, that you've got such powerful franchises in the NFL, NBA, NHL, and, of course, MLB. And there's, at the professional level and at the broadcast level, it's difficult for soccer to break through. At the same time, it's a huge participation sport in this country, and I think we're seeing the fruits of that. And I think, you know, whether will it ever challenge the major sports? Probably not. I think we still see soccer players in this country go to Europe to really hone their craft. At the same time, you know, you look at the need to globalize the business, and that's where FIFA becomes important to us. So while you're right, it's primarily a huge sport outside of North America, let's, you know, not underestimate the power it has in the North American market as well.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about the interesting way that EA and has done over the past few years of taken their titles like Madden or FIFA and broken it into this street. They now have the street version of FIFA or NFL Tour. Talk to us a little bit about that and the strategy there.
Well, it's ostensibly a lighter experience, a more irreverent experience. It obviously, we pioneered this kind of street concept with NBA primarily being a very successful part, but it takes a little different take on the actual simulated league itself, takes the essence of the sport and puts it out on the street, which, where for most of us, is where we learn to play the game. You know, I learned soccer by using a tree and a sweater as goalposts, and or using a street alley in Liverpool where the goals were actually two streets apart. You had to dribble around the corner, go across the street with the ball at your feet, and then shoot a goal the other way. I mean, that's how the world learns to play sports. We don't have the benefit of immediately being dropped into organized leagues. We learn on the street. You go any major urban area and you look at the basketball courts on the streets. Football is learned in touch football and flag football games. I mean, it's the real roots of the sport, and what we try and do is get inside that cultural root of what the game is all about, bring it into a different environment, and make it a little bit more of a pick-up-and-play, tongue-in-cheek. And you're right, with FIFA Street, which has just shipped, is doing well. NFL Tour, similar thing. You know, we look at these sports and we say, can we do, and I don't want to use the oft-hackneyed phrase of arcadey feel, but at the same time have a lighter pick-up-and-play 20-minute experience that's just fun from the moment you start playing.
I want to talk about Super Bowl. You were down there and you caught up with Trixie.
Yeah.
And then you and I had a little bit of a verbal exchange.
Yes, we did, Larry.
I want to talk about that for a second, because a lot of people have emailed me, and I'm sure they probably got in touch with you as well, is you called me the Paris Hilton of gaming. Now, to come to find out, now, you call me the Paris Hilton of gaming, or at least that's what I heard.
Of blogging.
Yeah. And then I retorted. I actually had Paris Hilton herself.
Hilarious.
Respond to you and say that there really isn't. But come to find out, you actually said Perez Hilton.
That's right. And when I listened to the audio again, it probably sounded more like Paris Hilton. My point would be, as I was talking to my good friend Trixie, my first question for her, and it may have been off camera, is where's Larry?
Yeah, right.
You know, and she comes up with some, I don't know, lame excuse that you were sick or something.
Well, I had the flu. It was horrible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's your story.
Right.
Anyway, and then I thought, well, he's sending you out here, although it's not a bad gig to come out to Phoenix for the Super Bowl. But then one thing led to another, and then I suddenly realized you were becoming larger than life. You were becoming bigger than the industry.
Yeah.
So your blog had taken on a life of its own. You were the same as Perez Hilton, who has become a bigger personality than the blog.
Right.
And so then one thing led to another. Clearly it got out of control. Lost in Translation to Paris Hilton, although I don't think you could get Perez Hilton, but you could clearly get Paris Hilton. So don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. And then you clearly one-upped me.
Well, that's quite right. But I wanted to say that, first of all, it was great to see you on Inside Xbox. It's always great to see you on Inside Xbox. And we're going to definitely have you on again when we go to when we cover the next events that we're going to be doing with EA Sports. But one of the things that I want to talk about is the fact that you're actually blogging now.
Yes, I'm having a lot of fun. I could never compete with you at Microsoft, so as truth be told, I actually had to leave the company to start my own blog.
See, now they're going to blame me.
No, it's on EASports.com. In fact, I finished my latest blog entry last night, and it's going to get posted while I write it myself. It's interesting. I like to try and give a blend of what's going on at EA Sports as well as some of my personal take on my sports passions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's nowhere near the empire that you have built, but at the same time, it's very specific to EA Sports. I get a lot of very hard-to-read feedback sometimes, and that's one of the intentions. But, you know, I do enjoy doing it. It was probably a little tougher to do at Microsoft in my position because of the you know, the broader platform elements of what I could talk about. But here, because it's very specific to EA Sports and my passion for the Red Sox and the Patriots and Liverpool Football Club and my California Golden Bears here at Berkeley, you know, it's a fun way for me to be able to try and talk to the community because we have some challenges. We're no different than Microsoft in the broader sense that we're an industry leader, and with that, you know, you catch a certain amount of abuse, and some of it is some of it is deserved, quite frankly, and a lot of it isn't, and you'd like to be able to explain yourself.
And that's one of the reasons I started blogging, you know, many years ago, and you were always a great supporter of me blogging, so I want to thank you for that. I'm so thrilled that you are blogging. How are the communities different? You know, you talked about the Xbox community, which, you know, can be a team of rabid fanboys all over the place down to the soccer mom, but over on the sports side, how is the community different?
I think they're a lot more focused on the, I don't want to say the minutiae, but the details of the game. If you do go on and look, and I am getting a better format in the next 10 days, which will have its own URL. It's in the game.com will be my new URL.
Oh, but great.
The feedback is very specific about a particular franchise. You know, certainly a lot of what you had to do is platform-oriented, and whether it was an Xbox Live, which is how your blog got going, but then, of course, is really anything Xbox at this point. You know, it really comes through Major Nelson, obviously. And you became a tremendous, I think, semi-autonomous is probably the best way which we allowed you to do,
yes,
to speak, even though people understood that you were a Microsoft employee, but you were no way a corporate shill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the respect that you've built for hundreds of thousands, not millions, of gamers now who go to you for your perspective on what's going on is something that I'm trying to do, albeit I'm the president of the company or president of the label. I do take the feedback very seriously. It is usually game specific. And as I've said on my blog that I wrote last night, I love your feedback. Those of you that give me specific feedback, I do pass it directly onto the dev teams. Can't get it all in, may not agree with it all, but it gets an ear. And those of you just say EA sucks, not much I can do with that. You know?
Yeah,
it's no different than yours. People like sometimes would just say, "I hate Microsoft" or "I hate Xbox," and you guys are, you know, foul words. But and as why I said, you know, you're always allowed to exercise your First Amendment rights on any blog. It's not very helpful.
Right, exactly. And I do want to thank you because, you know, my success is directly because of the support that you, when you were here and your team, and obviously you're still continuing to do because you agreed to, you know, find 15 or 20 minutes out of your busy day here. So I want to just thank you for everything that you've done because it's really, as you're finding out, it's a wonderful to have this conversation and the dialogue. It's really extraordinary, isn't it?
Well, it gets you down, and our industry is very unique. Somebody was asking me, well, how can you do this in video games? And, you know, we're in the venture capital business. And I said, well, people really don't have an emotional reaction. We have this wonderful thing, the fanboys who, you know, extend their allegiances to one platform or another and have a point of view about their own as well as about the other platforms. And we've got this incredible ecosystem of tens of millions of people around the world who love video games. But because we're at this kind of juxtaposition of where technology and entertainment is colliding and we've got such a technically savvy consumer base all around the world who love to go online and play, most of whom have access to a computer, and all of whom have access to an opinion, you know, they love to post it. And I think as an industry, we have to listen to the consumer, because, of course, without them, we're nothing.
Yeah, it's. I mean, to your point, yeah, we have a wonderfully passionate fan base, and now not only that, but not only did you have to deal with the Xbox fanboys when you were here, but now you have to deal with all, you know, PC fanboys,
oh, yeah.
Mobile. I mean, yep. And then, you know, the fanboys across all the platforms, and then across all the titles. Good God, that's got to be overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Nintendo fanboy is, you know, they're the original guys, and they're the guys that run deep and with their allegiances, and those guys have you know, in some instances, you get the blog. I've been playing Nintendo platforms for 20 years, and you know, in our days at Xbox, obviously, we're still relative neophytes in the deep historical world of video games. But yeah, I mean, they're all different. You can be getting a blog, or I get a lot of emails directly from people in their mid-40s that love sports and 10, 15 years ago picked up a Sega Genesis and played Madden or something, and they got hooked into EA Sports games, and in particular, in our case, Madden games. And so I love to hear from them. But you know what? You know, they all have a point of view, and I have to listen. And I try and respond as best I can. But, you know, it is when I stop getting them and people don't have a point of view anymore, then you know the industry's in trouble.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I know you got to get going, but I want to just wrap up with a couple more questions.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Madden. What can we expect for Madden this year?
Well, it is the 20th anniversary, and the team in Orlando at Tiburon Studios, I was there last week, are doing a tremendous amount of work to celebrate this incredible milestone. And we decided upon the cover person, and I now know who it is, but I'm not going to tell you or the community for a little while.
Sure.
No matter how people try and bribe me to give it up. And so we're excited about that. We're going to do a lot of cool stuff, continuing to build out the online play. We've got some new art directors on the title. The game is looking as good, if not better, than any other game I've seen in sports in the last couple of years. We'll continue to build out our work on all of the platforms. It's one of the games that we try and distribute on as many platforms as we can. But, of course, Madden has always, you know, it's been a soft part of our hearts with the Xbox 360. When I was there, we worked very closely with EA on the Madden holiday. You'll remember that back in Madden, Mississippi a couple of years ago.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and we continue to have a great relationship with the Xbox community with Madden. I was at the Super Bowl, as we mentioned, and was delighted to see Madden and Xbox 360 inextricably intertwined in all the events I went to. And of course, beginning with the Madden Bowl, which is now the kickoff to the Super Bowl weekend, and you know, all your games, Madden Bowl was played on the Xbox 360. So yeah, I mean, it's an incredible part of the football culture, and you know, we're delighted to, as you saw a couple of weeks ago, be able to extend our deal with the National Football League through the 2012-2013 season.
Yeah, I mean, you got your work cut out for you, because it's just gonna get bigger and better.
Yeah.
It's got to be tough for that team. I mean, 20 years of churning out and evolving Madden, and it's not just the same thing every year. I mean, there's different platforms, new technology.
That's exactly right, and it's a team that is, you know, 12 months a year under pressure. And from the moment they ship in August, you know, we give them a couple of days off. And then off they go, and they've got 11 months left to ship the next one. And obviously that's very different than the world that I came from there and the world you're in, where, you know, we would spend two and a half, if not 3 years, on some of our key franchises. These guys know that football season won't wait for them to ship Madden. And as a result, come every August, we're there. And while people are often critical about our innovation, I think the team, as you point out, do a phenomenal job to create a brand new experience every year. And my hat's off to them.
Yeah, they've really done a great job, and actually all your teams have every year. You know, some of the perennial favorites, the FIFAs, and we've just talked all about them. They've just done such a great job of continuing to move the goalposts forward.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. But just really keep it moving and evolve and take advantage of all the new hardware, whether it's the PS3 or the
right.
Xbox or the Wii. That they try creative stuff. So my hat's off to them. You've got a good team there.
No, we're delighted. I mean, I've got about 1,600 people in EA Sports that are responsible for making games, and there's not a more talented crew than I've ever met. I'm very fortunate to have them.
Peter, I'm going to let you go. I really appreciate you taking the time out. It's the first time you and I, actually, as I said, have chatted since you've left the company, and I'm so thrilled that you're having fun there at EA. It sounds like you're having a blast.
I'm having a great time. The only downside is I do still miss all my friends up there in Redmond, and please give a shout-out to everybody there on Millennium Campus, and, of course, to the Xbox community. there'll always be a little piece of my heart for everybody there. So it's while I'm platform agnostic, my heart still has some very deep roots over there to Redmond.
Totally understand that. Peter, I'll let you go. Can I have you on again in a few months?
Absolutely. We look forward. Let's actually go to a sports event. Let's get you out of your shell, Larry, and stop sending Trixie out there as much as I love seeing her. We need to get the Perez Hilton of blogging out on the road again.
As long as I can hang out in the executive booth with you, I want to be up there. That's all.
We'll make sure. You tell me you're coming, we'll make sure. Maybe we'll even get you on the field.
All right, there we go. Thank you, Peter.
All right, Larry, take care.
Thank you to all my guests this week. It was good to chat with them. And of course, wrapping it up with Peter Moore. It's always good to hear from Peter Moore.
Yeah, it's nice to hear from Peter again. We miss him around here.
As you could tell, he was doing that, I believe, from his house. You know, maybe he was sitting out by the pool. You hear the dog barking in the background there, and which is fine. I mean, I
didn't know that was an option. I'm going to start bringing my dogs in for the show.
Okay.
They're good dogs. They're mostly well behaved. As long as we don't put on like the TV and Animal Planet's on, they'll be fine.
By the way, I got Animal Planet in HD now on Comcast.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So I was watching some show on bugs the other night. So Peter, thank you for coming on the show. He's going to be on the show again. Well, thank you to all my guests. You know, Reagan and Matt and Trixie at the beginning, and of course Peter finished up there. It's, you know, he's always welcome back on the show. And I loved, you know, he was talking about the first time he went in and met with Sony and Nintendo, which was tell me you wouldn't have liked to have been a fly on the wall for that meeting.
Yeah, that must have been interesting.
So he's got his work cut out for him over there at EA, and I didn't realize that Madden was 20 years old this year.
That's amazing.
I mean, do you remember when the first Maddens came out?
I'm not sure. I think I do. I'm not sure I remember the very first, but I do remember. No, actually, I do, because the first one was on. Wait, was it on PC and then Genesis?
I don't remember.
I remember Madden on the Genesis in like 92, something like that.
Right.
But no, that was not the first one. So,
I gotta go up and take a look at Wikipedia, because really everything's on Wikipedia that makes sense.
Hold on. The first one that I remember was on Genesis.
Really?
As far as one I remember playing, because when I had my Genesis, I played that thing like crazy.
Right.
But I don't know that I remember the first year it came out. I should, I'm sure.
Well, if it's 20 years old, I mean, you can kind of figure it out from there.
Yeah, but we're old, and B, I've been gaming since I was about 7, so I should remember it.
Yeah.
But I don't think I do.
So anyway, so that's 20 years old. That's fun. I mean, these are the platforms it's been on. Let me just rattle them off. Apple II, Macintosh, SNES, Sega Genesis, Nintendo DS, Nintendo GameCube, N64, Windows PC, DOS, PlayStation, Xbox, PS2, PS3, Sega, Saturn, Wii, Xbox 360, and the PSP. So it's pretty crazy.
The sad thing is, I either still have or at one point have owned almost every single one of those platforms.
Really?
I'm an addict. The only one, I never had a Jaguar.
Right.
I
remember that controller was just ginormous.
It was bizarre.
Yeah.
It was like some twisted telephone device.
Yeah.
I wish I had a Saturn. Never had a Saturn. I still want one, but they're just too expensive.
Right.
I've had roommates with Macs. I've never owned a Mac.
Really?
No. But I think I've owned everything else that was on that list.
So, long list, but... But there you go. That's the Madden story. Peter invited me down. Hopefully, maybe next year at the Super Bowl, I may be up in the booth with him, up in the executive box.
Now, that annoys me.
Why?
So, which one of us is the football fan?
Both of us.
No, you're not even in my league as a football fan.
Well, I am a college football fan.
You're not even in my league as a college football fan. Number one, your team completely sucks.
Guilty.
Possibly the worst team in the NCAA last year.
Guilty.
Number two, I still have season tickets and go to all the games.
Yes, you do.
I even go to road games. Well, for me, every home game's a road game, but that's another story.
Anyway, so we'll see we'll see if we can get invited next year. I'll see if I can swing an invite for you.
Thank you.
I'd rather
Peter, if you're listening, I'm much cooler to hang out with at a football game.
I'd rather bring a listener though, but that's a whole other conversation.
But I'll bring a listener.
All right, we'll figure that out. So, all right, what we talked about, what games we played. What else do we have up on the list there on ye old whiteboard?
I've actually started to get back into Bomberman. I got some people to go out and try it who hadn't played it.
Right.
Amazingly, there are people out there that don't know Bomberman.
Now, is this your favorite version ever up on the arcade?
It is, but it's actually the reason it's my favorite version is because of Live.
Okay.
The friends list, the ease of finding people to play with,
right.
All that kind of stuff. So you take classic Bomberman fun and combine that with Xbox Live, friends list, party invites, all those kind of things. That's what makes it the best ever.
You know what's interesting is I was over at Wikipedia because I was looking at Madden. I just typed that in. It was released on the ZX Spectrum?
Yep. Now,
don't even tell me you had a copy of that.
I did not. I had a Spectrum. I didn't have Bomberman on the Spectrum.
What the hell's the MSX? The MSX, right.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
The Japanese standard. Yeah.
Right.
But I do own about 10 different copies of Bomberman on different platforms.
I mean, it was released on a ton of things.
So go through the list, and I'll tell you which ones I own.
Okay, so it was released on the MSX, ZX Spectrum, NEC PC 6001, NEC PC 8800.
I had a friend in high school who had one of those. We didn't have Bomberman for it, but he did have one.
NEC PC 8801, the Sharp MZ 700, which was big one with the...
I don't know that one. That may be Japanese.
The FM7, the Famicom NES, Famicom Disk System, Game Boy Advanced, and then it goes on, of course,
so
Xbox.
I have GBA versions. I have DS versions.
Right.
I have GameCube versions. I have Wii versions.
Didn't we do this like 6 months ago on the game out? You went through everything?
I like Bomberman.
I know you do.
There's a reason it won, what was it, Xbox Live Arcade Multiplayer Game of the Year?
Yes, it did.
It deserves it. Anyways, I'm getting people back into Bomberman, or new people into Bomberman, and playing that again. Maybe you and I should try this.
We did.
No. I was moving on. You interrupted me.
Okay.
But they just posted a bunch of new Gratu co-op content.
Oh, that's right.
So there's a new downloadable content pack up on Marketplace.
Yep, it's 400 points.
I love co-op. We all do. I mean, and there's great new co-op stuff coming out. So there's that, Army of Two,
right.
Which we need to give a whirl together.
Right.
Rainbow Six Vegas 2 in, 2 weeks? I mean, the
bummer is it's actually coming out while I'm out of the country.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Clearly, you need to reschedule your trip.
Although, as I said last week, I have a copy of it right here. It's not a final version, so I don't even want to look at it.
I try not to play near final but not final copies of games anymore. We've been down that road.
Yeah,
you can get burned that way.
Yeah, not so interested. I'm waiting for the final version. Thank you.
And if we get it before you leave, we should give it a try.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I'll just play it with Bunyan or someone and be done when you get back.
Yeah, thanks. In fact, let's talk about that first. Okay, let's finish up here, and then I want to talk about where I'm going and what I'm doing. Do you have any other games you want to talk about? We could talk about the fact we saw the Rock Band Solo drum kit. You and I went to Best Buy last week.
Yeah, we can talk about the fact that this mic stand is clearly screwed up.
What's wrong with it?
It just keeps dropping.
E? You all right?
I am still here.
Wow. Okay, so why don't you explain what just happened?
Well, you almost killed me.
I don't know about killing, perhaps seriously maiming.
I would have gone flying across the room and crashing into the wall.
Ouch.
Like something out of Heroes.
Ouch.
So the microphone stand was dropping slowly. So the microphone I'm talking into was getting lower and lower and lower to the point where I was like about to have to get out of the chair to talk into it. So you nicely leaned over to adjust it for me. And It suddenly went like sweeping upwards, and if I hadn't gotten out of the way, it would have killed me.
But we're back. We were talking about Rainbow Six Vegas.
We were?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're going to do probably some co-op with Bunyan while I'm out of town.
Yes, because the co-op in Vegas is some of the better co-op there is over Live.
We were out at Best Buy over the week, and we saw the Rock Band Solo drum kit we talked about.
We did, which was pretty cool to see. We're not quite to the wireless guitar. We're almost there. Another couple of weeks, actually.
I believe so.
I can't wait for that. I want two of those. What else did we see while they were there? They were finally getting some Elites back in stock.
Yeah, they had a few Elites, some arcade titles. I mean, it's just, you know, good to walk around and see. We saw your TV really cheap.
Yeah, my TV has gone way down in price. Thankfully, it still looks pretty, so I don't have to replace it, you know, 9 months later.
Right. So I want to talk a little bit about upcoming. We're gonna do Name the Game in just a minute. But I wanted. I mentioned this last week and the week before, but I, you know, repetition is the key to learning.
Okay.
We're going to do a show next week. The show next week, actually, I'll probably post on Saturday, so we're going to have to record a little early.
Right.
Because I'm actually leaving town on Saturday. I will be off the grid, OTG baby, until Tuesday. Tuesday the 24th or 5th, whatever the date is.
Wow.
Let me check that. So
major go bye-bye.
Yeah, I'll be off the grid until the 25th. Or late in the day on the 24th, but I'm going on a cruise with the family. So what does that mean to people, to listeners of this show and readers of the bloggy?
It means depending on just how busy I am while you're gone, they may or may not be exposed to my odd sense of humor.
So that means you guys should be, you know, posting on the blog. I'll put a goodbye post, but you know, that I'm leaving and when I'll be back. But you know, you will try to post up, you know, if we have any demos. I have no idea. We don't know if any demos are coming down the line, but any content up there.
I won't post all the content. I'm not going to do the daily marketplace updates, right, but if there's demos, if there's big things, I will try.
Okay,
post.
So he's going to step in and try to take care of business at that point. But I will be off the grid, but I'll be back. If you're looking for any official PR noise and PR press releases, go over to the Gamerscore blog. They've got like 15 or 20 people over there blogging. So
as always, they are the official outlet and we are the
unofficial outlet.
Yes.
So
the happy, happy, joy, joy.
Yes.
Outlet.
So let's go over there and they'll take care of you. E will try to step in and post any big demos or any big news that's going on
or
there. So
possibly maybe just amuse myself with your readers.
Yeah, that's dangerous. Be careful. So that's just want to set expectations so everyone knows what's going on and where did Major go, because I'm sure some people go, hey, you haven't posted anything in a while. And actually, some people have been talking about the marketplace stuff, and it's just there's so much marketplace stuff, and I want to get back to blogging like I normally do, but I just, A, I haven't had time, and B, there's a lot of marketplace stuff.
Yeah, and some of it is really good stuff.
Yeah, so
it's
I
not
make sure
just. I mean, it's not just gamer picks and themes, which I know some people love them. It depends on if it's a game you care about.
Or if it's free.
But it's good content. It's Rock Band content. It's Guitar Hero content. It's the GRAW co-op pack. It's things people actually
Guitar
know
Hero.
About. I just said that.
Rock Band.
I just said that. Although last week's Rock Band, I got to admit, not a big fan of.
Oh, the Grateful Dead?
I grew up in Eugene.
Wait,
I've had it with the Grateful
right.
Dead.
If
they're so grateful, they could just stay dead and leave me alone. Because let me tell you, when the Grateful Dead come to Eugene, it's not so much a problem with the Grateful Dead as it is some of the deadheads and the trash on the front lawns and the people sleeping in your driveway and things like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It gets... When they would come to Eugene, it would be bad.
See, now that surprises me, because as we sit in here and we record this, you're sitting across from me in tie-dyed and Birkenstocks. So that's why I'm completely stunned.
I am not. I do not own a pair of Birkenstocks. I've never owned a pair of Birkenstocks. I
mean, not that there's anything wrong with them.
It's just not my thing. When I wear sandals, I wear Tevas.
Okay.
So.
All right, so that's what you can expect while I'm out of town. A few folks have emailed me, given me actually tips for some of the ports of call that I'll be hitting.
Oh, nice.
So I want to thank them for that, but I haven't heard from anybody who lives on any of the islands that I'll be visiting, including Haiti, Puerto Rico, Santo Domingo, and St. Thomas.
I would like to live on St. Thomas. I had family who lived in Puerto Rico for quite a while.
Really?
Actually visited them there. My first ever plane flight.
I will be diving, I believe, in St. Thomas. So I look forward to that. But enough about my holiday. That's just want to give everyone a heads up and what they can expect. Lithion will be he'll be around as well, but he won't be blogging because he's too busy.
He's
doing his stuff.
Yeah, making sure that things work.
Making sure that things stay up. So, all right. Why don't we stop down here? We'll do Name the Game for last week. We'll roll that right now. Oh! All right, that was Name the Game for last week. That was Jumper. Jumper. Did you play that?
I have not played Jumper yet. I haven't even gone and seen the movie yet.
That is the video game based on the theatrical release,
which
the film.
Which I need to and want to go see.
So you'll go ahead and see that. But somebody who did know what that was Ogu 7 Gardex. We're just going to leave it at that. Some of these gamer tags are just crazy.
But I think that's Ugu.
Ugu or Ogu, who knows, Zero. All right, congratulations to whatever it is, Ogu7 Gardex. You got yourself a Turtle Beach Air Force X1 headset, which E and I use frequently.
We do.
Turtle Beach
makes nice stuff.
They do.
I've been playing with a couple of their products lately.
So thank you for that. And then I'm going to play a Name the Game now, which is probably going to be a little more difficult. Because I feel like making it a little more difficult.
We're going down into the depths and okay. Yeah.
We're gonna go deep in the closet for this one. So here you go. Here's the name of the game for this week. All right, if you think you know what that is, send me an email. My email for all correspondence is major@xbox.com. Major@xbox.com is how you reach me, although remember I will be out of the country for a few weeks, so I'll answer them when I get back. I actually can't answer everything. I read everything, but I can't answer it. So send me an email if you think you know what that is, major@xbox.com with your guest in the subject line and then your gamer tag in the body. And I'm going to stop talking now because my lips are all getting twipped up.
Okay, so that would be my turn.
That would be your turn.
So we should probably roll Funky in for Xbox 101.
Oh, it's Xbox 101 time.
Xbox 101, this time with E and Major Nelson. Yeah.
Okay, so this week we're actually taking a break from our theme. We have been talking about Xbox Live etiquette, but one of our listeners sent in a suggestion to major@xbox.com, and I looked at it and I was like, wow, actually that's a really good one that we haven't talked about in a long time, so I wanted to squeeze this one in. And this is real simple. I'm sure a lot of people get questions about, hey, where'd you get that gamer pick? And there's a really easy way to find out. All you need to do is go visit that person's profile page on xbox.com, which is going to be at live.xbox.com/member/gamertag.
Right.
And just mouse over the gamer pick. You don't need to click on it. Just highlight, you know, move your arrow on top of it. And xbox.com actually has a feature where it will show you in the pop-up text. What it's called, the alt text. It will show you where that gamer pick comes from. So, boom. That's all you have
now,
to do.
Now, this works in most browsers. May not work. I'm pretty sure it works in Firefox and Safari, but works in most browsers. It may not work in all.
Right.
But you know that's my feature.
Is that one of the ones you suggested?
That was one of the ones that I suggested, and they finally were able to slip it in there, so that was mine. Won't tell you exactly, because of the way we catalog things in the marketplace, it won't tell you exactly what the name of the picture. It'll kind of get you pointed in the right direction.
Right. And then depending on what it is, it may take you a couple minutes to find it, but at least you'll have an idea, oh, it's from this game.
Yeah, or from this community pack or what have you. So, yep. Yeah, that was actually one of the better features that I suggested.
It's just a little sneaky. If you don't know it's there,
right,
you may never find it.
I think what they call a power user feature.
So I'd like to thank Ghosty Devil for that suggestion. That was a great one. Thank you.
I'm glad you're enjoying that. So you can actually find out that I changed my gamer picture this week, and it's from Robot Chicken. Star Wars.
Ooh, Robot Chicken.
Which is, you want to talk about that on the marketplace?
So we have a little bit of an exclusive here. Thank you to the folks at Robot Chicken. The Robot Chicken Star Wars Special.
Yes.
Is up on Video Marketplace right now. I think it's U.S. only.
Correct.
240 points. But the exciting thing is it is actually on Video Marketplace right now. It won't be on DVD until May.
Yeah, if you go to Amazon, you'll notice that it won't be on DVD until May. This is it's a 240 points. It's not in HD because they don't shoot in HD.
Can you please turn off your screensaver?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
It's doing the flicker thing again, That's very distracting.
So that's available right now, so go ahead and download that. It's a Star Wars Special Episode 15.
And I'm looking forward to this because I did not see this when it first came out. And everyone who's told me about it is just like, oh, it's the best thing ever. You've got to go see this.
It's Robot Chicken. Why wouldn't you like it?
Yeah, that does pretty much cover it.
Right. So that's where that's from. Do we have anything else to talk about there? Are we gonna wrap it up now? Because I think we're at the end of our showgram here, because we've had the interviews and I whacked you in that. You now have a huge, big black and blue mark in your head.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. You owe me a hamburger.
Yes. Can I has cheeseburger?
I can has bacon cheeseburger.
Thank you. All right, we're going to wrap the show up now because, E, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I think we're good, and I think you and I are both actually late for places we're supposed to be.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it goes. So I want to thank our friends at Centricom.net, as I do each week. Centricom and Cashfly, they provide MajorNelson.com with secure and assured hosting environment, and they make sure that everything happens and that we can communicate and have the wonderful dialogue that we do with you, the gamers, and us, the guys that build the products.
That's right.
Is that the way?
Have a good week, fellow Xboxians.
Yes, have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. The show will be up a little bit early because I'll be jetting out of town, so I'm gonna kick out a show a little bit early for you guys. I think I have a good guest next week. I don't want to say who it is, but I think you guys are going to like him.
Oh,
I've never had him on the show before.
They are absolutely going to like this guest.
So stay tuned for that next week, and we'll talk to you then. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading my show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint if you come across somebody that you think deserves it. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. You all right over there?
I was just cracking my knees.
Okay, because I don't know if I hit you in the head again.
No, that was just...
We're recording.
Oh, okay. No, I have interestingly constructed knees, and I have to crack them every so often to relieve the pressure.
Right on.
So, yeah, sadly, they can't fix them. I did find out. I actually went to the orthopedic surgeon who takes care of the Oregon football team and basically found out after an inordinate number of tests that if I mess them up anymore, they can put them back right the way they are right now. They just can't make them any better.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the E after show. What do you got to talk about in the after show?
Actually,
somebody asked me this. Why do you do an after show? And I looked at them and said, I have no idea.
I don't remember how we got started.
I think I started because I did a hidden portion of my show. I used to just do like a quick little bit at the end.
But why? Because now it's just part of the routine.
It's like an Easter egg.
Yeah. But
what, not really.
Do you remember like what the first after show was
no,
about?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea. So this is you know, we have a whiteboard where we structure out kind of what the show is going to be, but then this is completely unscripted.
And this is kind of where we can talk about the things that, you know, like listeners may not care about. Yeah.
Like ease knees. So if you don't care about it, then you don't care. It's this.
So cool gadget.
What?
DirecTV just introduced their long rumored HD 21 Pro DVR. So the really cool thing about this thing, other than, you know, hey, lots of storage,
right,
tons of outputs, HDMI component, et cetera, neat feature, all the components are hot at the same time. So you could like run HDMI into a TV, component into a
receiver. So it's just one big massive output. Everything's outputting.
All of them are outputting simultaneously.
That's interesting.
But the really neat feature is this thing supports optical over or HDMI over optical fiber. So you could run a really long fiber instead of HDMI to get the signal to a long ways away from the DVR. So put the DVR in the closet and then run optical HDMI to wherever the display device is.
This isn't really powered by TiVo, right?
It's not powered by TiVo. I'm still hoping they're going to bring back TiVo-powered DirecTV DVRs.
Right.
I'm thinking about it, though, because I need to make the move to the MPEG-4 gear, because I still have the old MPEG-2 HD TiVo, which means I'm not getting the new HD channels. So that I'm starting to get the itch. I definitely, before next fall when the new TV season starts, I have to get a new MPEG-4 DVR.
Before Heroes starts again.
Before Heroes starts again. Before Season 4 Battlestar Galactica. Right. There's some other shows that I'm going to have in HD.
Yeah, you do.
So, yeah. I mean, I get Heroes now, at least. But I don't get Sci-Fi HD.
Oh, I got that last night with my this week with my Comcast.
Yeah, and I want Sci-Fi HD.
Although, you know that, and everyone who has HD channels will appreciate this. When you get a brand new HD channel, you're like, oh, this is great. You tune in. And then the first thing you see is like an infomercial or something in SD.
Right.
It's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's the same logic as trying to catch the top of the crawl on the TV guide channel. You can't do it.
I don't even use the TV guide channel.
No, but if you wind up using it like when you're at hotels and stuff because you have no idea what channels you get and what's on. So you click to it. It's a law of physics that it's going to be exactly in the part of the crawl you don't care about. And you're going to have to wait the maximum amount of time to get back to the channels
to where
you're interested
in. Well, that's absolutely right. So, I don't know if I have anything else to discuss in the after show.
Is there anything at CeBIT you're looking for?
No, not really.
Well,
except for all those guys that got shut down.
Oh, God. There was actually...
Raid!
Yeah, there was a number of booths that got shut down by the authorities at CeBIT for various kinds of, like, copyright and patent violations.
Our good friends in China.
Yeah. So I know at least one of them is now back up and running. I don't know if they're all back up and running, but apparently there was quite a bit of drama on day one.
I can't wait to talk to Trixie about CeBIT. If you've gone to CeBIT, I'd love to send me an email, major@xbox.com. Let me know what you think. If you've gone to CeBIT and CES, I'd love to hear someone's comparison.
That'd be really interesting because I've never done CeBIT. I would love to do CeBIT someday.
Yeah, so maybe I'll do that sometime in the future.
There's got to be some business reason we can get to CeBIT. There's got to be. We got to manufacture one next year.
Yeah, that's true. We do need to do that, so... All right, well, what else you got?
Not a whole lot else going on. We're scouting locations for the next Burger Challenge. We're going to change the rules a little bit.
Why don't you explain
what
that is?
We're going to change the judging panel. So,
because I'm completely disgusted with it. I'm going to start my own.
Hey, no, you're not.
I'm revolting.
Hang on. No. Well, you are, but that's irrelevant.
Okay.
So a good friend of ours runs the Burger Challenge here in Seattle. We put up a link a couple of weeks ago to the results from the last challenge.
Boo!
The challenge was good. And basically visit a whole lot of burger joints.
In
the Seattle area. Each of the judges, you know, eats a quarter of the burger. There are some rules about, you know, making sure you get the same burger from every place, about how places get picked, all those kind of things. Major and I, we went to the place that won last time. We were not big fans.
No, we were not. The only thing that we were fans of, if you remember correctly.
Oh, yes.
Was a very, very nice young lady sitting two booths over.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
That was worth it. But
the burger was just an average bar burger.
Right. It
wasn't bad. But
no, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't OMFG, best burger ever.
Right. It was a 6.5, 7 out of 10.
Right.
And I'm convinced that the burger I'd had the night before at the parlor was better. But Red Mill is still top of the list.
Yes.
Red Mill is the best. However, we're changing things for this burger challenge. So I'm going to be on the judging panel.
Where's my invite?
You're not going to be on the judging panel. But some of the judges are changing over. We're putting a whole bunch of new places in that were not in the challenge last time. And right now we're busy scouting locations, which basically means going around town and eating a lot of burgers. I've gotten some really good suggestions, actually, over live. People messaging me saying, you need to try this place. Here's how you get there. Here's why it's good.
Send a message to E over live. His gamer tag is E if you have anything to suggest.
Yes. And speaking of that, lately I've seen, I don't know if it's just people thinking they're funny, but I seem to be getting a lot of messages asking me either, is this Major Nelson?
Yeah.
Or right. going, who are you? It's like, I'm E. No, really, who are you? Ooh. I'm. Who did you just send the message to? I'm E.
Yeah.
It. And then I got one really weird one this week. It's like, are you Eric Schaefer or someone I'd never heard of? I'm like, no.
Do you want to hear about, did you get this? I don't want to give out this gamer tag, but I have this person who's been stalking me, who sends me, who's demanding I add me to their friends list. He sends me probably 10 or 12 messages a day. And apparently I heard from my friends list, Knuckles Dawson, you know who this is. It's not Knuckles, but Knuckles and I were chatting about this. This individual went up and down my friends list and sent messages to every single person saying, take Major off your friends list.
I've heard about this too. Take Major off your friends list so that he'll have room to add me.
Right.
Ace got one of those.
Right.
A number of other people have right. IM'd me and gone, do you know what's going on with this?
Yeah, that's so this guy has come, and I sent him back. I'm like, you know, what's up, dude? You know, and I'm, you know, it's just, it's a little crazy.
I mean, what people don't seem to mostly understand. I rotate people through my friends list all
absolutely.
The time. There's some people that are always going to be on there because I work with them. They're my friends in real life,
right.
something like that. But I remove people and add people, you know, a couple times
a
week.
Age them off.
But what I don't do is add people without a good reason to.
Yeah.
I don't add you just because you want to be on there.
Yeah.
If I run into you in a game and you're fun to play with and you're polite and friendly, I might add you.
Yeah, this guy's I think he said something like, oh, you know, I'm a level 50 in Halo. And yeah, dude, that's not a selling point because I'm not a level 50.
Right.
So not so much.
Yeah, stalking is not a good way to get on someone's friend list.
So you know, I've been having some conversations. I've been nice to him. I'm like, you know, hey, you know, I like to add a lot of people. I add, as you said, I add a lot of people each week. But this guy, the fact that he was assaulting everyone on my friends list, I was a little bummed out about.
That's pretty
you can
much
assault me all you want. I don't care. But just don't bother people on my friends list.
Right. That's pretty much a guarantee of you're not ever getting on my friends list.
Dude. Yeah, exactly. So that's maybe that's Xbox Live etiquette for next time.
There you go.
All right, we're going to wrap it up now, E, because we wrapped it up once already. This show has gone on, and we'll make maybe an even longer show next week, right?
So is this the after-show wrap party?
This is the after-show wrap party. We're done.
Since it's the wrap party, do we get more
Swiss chocolate? Yeah, go ahead and have chocolate. All right, we're done. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, all.